Amen. Been a really good week for me this week. Lydia finished primary school this week. So she had our end of year assembly and things, and she'd written the play, and it was great, and she was doing a lot of stuff. So Jay came home, and Lisa came home. So it was brilliant. We had the whole family home for a couple of days, and it was fantastic. I mean, cost me a fortune. And there's no cups left, and ran out of milk, and all this kind of stuff. But it was great having the family home, isn't it? It's great having the family home. And it's like that here. I do feel it's like that here. And it is wonderful to see Ali and Adi along. It's great when you guys can make it along for Inverurie. It's brilliant. It's even good to have Tracy, yeah? I mean, late as she was, but hallelujah. It's great to have you guys. It's lovely to have the farm, because that's what we are. It's lovely to have the family back. Family disperse, but when they come back, it's great, even if it is just for 2 days. It's good to have the family back. One of the saddest days we had in this place, but also one of the most exciting, because we were spreading out the grace message, was, do you remember that Sunday when Michelle, Tracy and Enoch all left? Remember that?
Yeah.
It was a sad day, but then it was a good day because the grace message was being spread out. And you see Enoch in Australia and all that, and Wales, is it? Yeah. Just inside. I mean, it's great we got Michelle back.
Yeah.
You're allowed to cheer, doesn't it? Okay, so. But you know, families move away and come back, and and that's like what church is. So it's great. It's also kind of another milestone week for me because that's in 2 days, it will have been exactly 3 years since I left Diageo.
Wow.
That's a long time, and it's gone quick. 3 really good years. So I want to say thank you to you guys in the fellowship for giving into the offering to allow us to take a small salary, which is great. But I want to thank about the half of my partners that are sitting in here this morning. We have direct partners who commit to the ministry and who give faithfully every month. So I honor you. I thank you. You're a blessing. You're wonderful. Wouldn't be able to do this without you. So thank you. It's an honour, a privilege. It's great. I get up some Monday mornings and I go and sit in my study and I open up the Bible and start studying, and that's work. That's work. Yeah, okay, sometimes I'm away doing other things and the Lord's blessing me with the business. But to be able to say I have a church who supports me, I have partners who support me, so I can just spend time in the Word and spend time getting ready for the school and spend a weekend away preaching at Glen Arras, all that kind of thing. It's just wonderful. So, thank you. Still not enough time to prepare a message that I can deliver in 1 week. I didn't do very well last week. I didn't get the message finished. So those of you that were here last week, you're going to have a bit of a recap. Because the guys that weren't here last week, I have to get them up to speed. Guys, see if you're ever out there ministering and you're told you've got to preach for a certain amount of time. Yeah. Put in a bit of summary at the start. Put in a wee bit of summary at the end. And you get to cut the time down. Make it last really long. No, that's not what I'm doing today. Yeah, last week, I started what I felt was a really important message. A vital message for the church, for us. And I kind of got off on a few rabbit trails and all that. And took longer than expected. So I'm hopefully going to wrap it up today. It's week 15 of looking at Ephesians, and we're not finished chapter 3 yet. Lisa was making fun of me. Every time she comes home, it's, oh, how far are you on in Ephesians? Have you finished Ephesians yet? No. So we're on week 15 in Ephesians, but what I'm going to do is do a kind of recap on week 14 to start with. So let's pray. We pray the same thing every week. That Dave was saying he found a cassette tape, and it was like 10 years old. And he said he listened to the start, and he said, I've heard that prayer for 10 years. But that's the way it should be. You know, yes, we get new stuff, but the truths stay the same. So before we look at the Word, before you study the Bible, you should be praying that you get understanding for the seed you're about to plant. We know it's a biblical principle. It's not a tradition. So that's why we do it every week. Father, I thank you for the worship this morning. I thank you for all the family that are here. All the family that are here week in, week out. The family that are here now and again. The family that are here very occasionally. We just thank you, Lord, for the whole family that's here this morning. I thank you for the fellowship. I thank you for the healing that has already been going on in this place this morning. I thank you for brothers and sisters laying hands on brothers and sisters and operating under the power and the authority that we have been given. So we thank you for all that we've done already this morning, Lord. And we now thank you that we're about to gather around your word. Thank you for the freedom to preach your word, Lord. So thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these seeds that we're about to plant in people's hearts. Thank you for the hearts that are about to receive. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak out understanding so that these seeds cannot be stolen away, so that the seeds will germinate, the seeds will grow, and the seeds will produce fruit that we all desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would recommend every time you do a little bit of Bible study or even just read the word, pray that prayer over yourselves. I pray for understanding, because as soon as you open the word, the enemy's going to be there at you. FIPA's about to start, Vic. That's not saying you yield. You don't really think that that word's saying you're supposed to be prosperous. So every time you start getting into the Bible, pray for understanding, because the enemy doesn't want you to read and understand the Lord's words. Amen. Let's go back to the start of message 14 and read the word. I read last week from Ephesians 3, 7 to 11, so I'll do the same again. Ephesians 3, verse 7. Wherefore I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I started looking at these verses because it's a powerful concept that Paul is trying to get across to us here. He's speaking to us as the church. Anybody here in the church? Every hand should have been raised there. If you're a born-again believer, you're in the church. This is speaking to you. Now, we all know we need to be the light of the world. We need to go out there showing Jesus to people. Showing the grace message, the truth to everybody out there, unbelievers and believers as well. Tell them about freedom in Christ. We need to show the world Jesus. But what these verses are saying are something quite different. That word men is in italics, so it shouldn't be there. It wasn't in the original Greek. And then it talks about principalities and powers. What this is saying, it took me 20 minutes to tell the guys this last week. Try to do it really quickly. What this is saying is that we as the church need to be showing Jesus to the enemy and the demonic. We need to be sticking it up to them and saying, this is what my Jesus can do. This is what my Jesus has done. And this is what I'm going to do because he's in me and working through me. So we need to show the enemy who's the boss. I used the flip chart last week to show you about flows of authority. Who works in a big organization? Yeah. There's a whole flow of authority, isn't there? There's the big boss and then other bosses and then bosses underneath and then the people who actually do the work. Amen? Anybody in a big organization where there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians? Hallelujah, we've all been there. Man, it's quite good when you're one of the chiefs, hallelujah. Amen. So I was talking about flows of authority, and there's flows of authorities in the kingdom. We looked at before creation, we looked at between the fall and the cross, but the important one is up on there just now, and it's post-cross. Now, we live post-cross. So this is the flow of spiritual authority. So God, Trinity, obviously, he's at the top. There's no one, no thing, no body higher in spiritual authority than God. Can we agree on that? Yes. We can at least agree on one thing. Yes. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of him taking the spiritual authority back from the enemy, authority that man lost at the fall, gave away at the fall, Jesus took that spiritual authority back and gave it to born-again believers post-cross. So the next person in the flow of authority, spiritual authority, directly under God, is you. And you have more authority, more spiritual authority than the devil and the demonic, who has more spiritual authority than the children of disobedience, unsaved man. So I was trying to explain to people last week that we have more authority than the enemy. And although he's whispering in our ears, I would suggest you do this, you don't want to believe that, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do that. We're the ones that tell him what to do. We sang a song last week, the devil is crushed underneath our feet. We have that authority now. We saw that one of the things Jesus came to do was to destroy the works of the devil. It's 1 John 3 verse 8. Jesus came to destroy the work of the demonic, and then he told his disciples to do that, to destroy the work of the demonic. Now, people might be saying, oh no, I don't know if I like this, all this talk about demonic and the enemy. You know, forget about that. Forget about his name and their names. What we're talking about here is sickness, poverty, lack, depression, rejection. They're all works of the devil. You've been doing what Jesus did this morning by laying hands on people and healing them. That's destroying the works of the devil. I did say last week that in this concept of showing who's boss to the enemy, it's not all about the way Hollywood portrays it. It's not like we're all going to go out and start doing things like you saw in The Exorcist in the 70s. I never saw it, but I saw the clip on YouTube. It's not like that. It's nothing to be afraid of. The demonic, they're just manky little losers. We don't need to be scared of it. They can sometimes manifest themselves. Don't know if anyone's seen it. I remember the first meeting we ever had in our house with quite a lot of people. And I had to move the car to let Annie in. That's what it was. I was starting to reverse the car, and I looked in the mirror, and this demon manifested itself on the back seat. And it freaked me out for a second. And then I looked around, and it was gone. So I just moved the car and went back in the house. I can't remember if I told everybody that night. But they tried to scare us. But they're nothing to be afraid of, unless we get afraid, and we be afraid. We saw in Luke 10, 18 to 20, Jesus given his disciples authority to go out and heal the sick and cast out demons. Definitely part of the ministry. Now, if Jesus talks to his disciples, who else is he speaking to? Four ears, that's good. Yeah. Jesus gave authority to the disciples pre-cross, but we also see him doing it post-cross. And that's for us. Awesome. We as disciples have the same authority over the enemy. And that's highlighted there by that chart. We spoke a little bit about we need to know what's God. We need to know what's from the demonic. Stuart was telling us a little tale this morning about a guy who thought it was the enemy that was telling him to do something because it was so stupid. But it was actually God. So we have to recognize, is this God speaking or is this the enemy speaking? Is this God's action or is this the enemy's action? And I said John 10:10 was quite a good guide. If it's to do with abundance and goodness, it's for God. If it's trying to steal, kill, or destroy something that we already have, like healing, like prosperity, like acceptance, peace, it's from the enemy. So anything to do with abundance and abundant life, blessing, prosperity, healing, is from God. Anything else, try to steal, kill, and destroy that, is from the enemy. Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We, the church, need to be telling the demonic about God. And showing the demonic how powerful the Lord is. Through us doing the business, but through his power and authority. I did say it's not all about casting out demons. But it's about accepting your healing. It's about accepting your prosperity. It's about accepting your adoption as a son and a daughter of the living God. I said, by receiving your healing, it's like taking the enemy and rubbing his face in his own dirt. You know, humiliating him. By accepting your healing and being healed and accepting your prosperity, accepting your acceptance and your peace, that's rubbing the enemy's nose in it. So don't worry, I'm not going to expect everyone to go out and just walk along the street casting out demons left, right and centre. Although you can. And we'll get on to that. We'll get on to that later on. I'm getting almost done half the message from last week already. That's quite good. For most of us, it's not about casting out demons. It's about living the life of abundance that Jesus has bought for us. That's what we need to focus on. Accepting our healing. 3 John 2 says, above all things, God wishes that we live in health and prosperity. So that's what God wants for us. That's what God's provided for us. The enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy that. Remember, he can't steal, kill, and destroy something that you don't have. So if he's trying to make you sick, you're healed. If he's trying to make you live in lack, you're prosperous. Yeah? Can't steal, kill, and destroy what you don't have. See, Jesus is health. Jesus is prosperity. Jesus is abundance. And I said that was a good testimony. Who's going to come into a church and join us if we're all mumping and moaning about how sore we are and how poor we are? Oh yeah, come and join me. Come and get a bit of poverty. Come and get a bit of sickness. Because that'll make you better. God will teach you through a little bit of sickness, a little bit of poverty. Come on in, get your thorn in the flesh. Aye, that's going to attract folk in, isn't it? No, the testimony is, come on into this place. I mean, I'd have loved a few visitors to walk in this morning and see what's going on. This is nae like church. Has anybody been to a church like this before? I don't think so. You know, it's different. The love that you show for one another in this place is just awesome. I went to a local church one day to support a friend who was doing a bit of lay preaching, and he was preaching. So I went up to the door, and two old ladies who knew me from yay size walked up. I thought, here we go, get a nice welcome. One of them said, what are you doing here? Oh, come for a bit of love and fellowship, thank you very much. No, I didn't say that. But this is different. It's awesome. We need to be displaying the mercy, compassion, and love of Jesus. Yeah, we display his healing. Fantastic. We display his prosperity. But he was also a merciful, loving, and compassionate God. And we need to display that to one another. And I do believe we're doing that here. That's it. We need to be a testimony. We need to be a witness. Thank you. Look at your notes when you're getting confused, Vic. It's always helpful. And we need to keep pushing on. Keep pushing on. Looking for your healing. Or to get your healing manifest, to get your prosperity manifest. Because I mentioned last week, I saw a picture on Facebook that said, a Christian can only fail if they give up. Yeah, it might take you 30 years to manifest your prosperity, your healing, your acceptance. But then again, it might take you 3 days, Tracy. Don't look so damn, try to make a point here, okay? Okay, let's not talk in years. It might take you a long time to manifest what the Lord has given you and what he's done for you. But as long as you don't quit, you will get there. It may take you 30 years, may take you 30 days, may take you 30 minutes, may take you a millisecond. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord in certain areas. It may take you a longer time to renew your mind, but you may be instant. But it all may happen if you quit. That's the point. Oh, I'm just not seeing this manifest, Vic. I'm just not seeing this fruit in my life. Yeah, what seed are you planting? You won't get fruit. Getting into your seat there, Tracy. You glad to be back? you'll no sit in the front row next time you come back, will you? That's a point, though. And I can see it in my life. I have to be honest. I'm not seeing success in this area, Vic. Well, what seeds are you planting, Vic? Is it Andrew that says, if you want tomatoes, you're going to plant tomatoes? If you want tomatoes, you're going to put tatties in the ground. So what kind of seeds are we planting? That was a kind of an aside. If we just keep pushing on, getting into the Word, meditating the Word, understanding the Word, guys, it will come. It will be made manifest. It might take a wee while, but it'll come. I quite often hear say, we don't have microwave Christianity in the church. It shouldn't be microwave Christianity. You don't get it with a ping. Someone said, no, who was it? It's slow cooker Christianity. You know, sometimes things take a little bit longer in a slow cooker than they do in a microwave. But as long as you don't switch off the slow cooker, when you get home, your supper will be ready. Tastes much better in a slow cooker. Yeah, and you see, if you take a while to understand the Word, a while to renew your mind, that gives you lasting, permanent change. Amen. Amen. So I was saying we need to display Jesus to the enemy. Be that casting out demons, if that's the opportunity we get, if that's our ministry. But living the abundant life that Jesus came is really sticking two fingers up to the enemy. We can all do that. And where I kind of got to last week was Ephesians 3 verse 12 that shows us how we can do this, that what makes this all possible. Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We can have boldness to do this. We have access to the Lord. But there's a very important word in there. That doesn't say, with confidence by the faith in him. It says, we can do this through the faith of him. It doesn't say faith in him. And that's where I'm starting this week's message from. This isn't about faith in Jesus. Now, we all have faith in Jesus, or you wouldn't be sitting here. Putting yourself through an hour of my preaching. You wouldn't be coming along, giving freely into the offering pot. Because in the eyes of the world, that's just giving money away. You know it's not. You've got faith. You know that there's a principle operating here. And you have faith in Jesus. You have faith in the Bible. We've all got that. You can't come to faith without faith. But what this is talking about, this is different. This is saying faith of him. Talking about Jesus. What this is saying is that we can do this because of the faith of Jesus. And we'll see later we have that because Jesus is in us. What he has, we have. What we have, he has. It's, we're in him, he's in us. There's nothing that the Lord expects us to do that we can't do. It would be unfair of him to ask us to do it if we didn't have the ability to do it. But he's asking us to do this because we can do it through the faith of Jesus. Now, it's taken me another week to kind of get my head around this. I can do this because of the faith of somebody else. And actually, that somebody else is God, the creator of the universe. Bottom line, because of this faith of Jesus, what is this saying? This is saying he believes in us. Jesus believes in you, Marilyn. Sit up in your chair a little bit, Tracy, because Jesus believes in you. We've got to the good part of the message. Jesus sent out his disciples in his name to do all these great things. Why? Because he'd given them power and authority and he believed in them. Exactly the same for us. He sends us out to do great things in his power and authority because he believes in us. Now we will see he can believe in us because he's in us. So in a kind of roundabout way, he's believing in himself. Yeah, it's difficult to get your head round. I'm trying to explain it as best I can. Jesus believes in us. Jesus believes in you. He believed in his disciples and he believes in his church. We are plan A. And do you know there's no plan B? It was good to get that out today. If Sean was here, he'd have shouted that out first, wouldn't he? Stole my thunder. I heard Stuart whispering it. But Sean would have shouted out, we're plan A, there's no plan B. Folks, we can do this in terms of showing it to the enemy, displaying Jesus to the enemy. Yes, casting out demons, but living an abundant life, living in acceptance. We can do all that because Jesus believes in us. Why would he tell us to go out and do it if we were going to make a complete pig's ear of it? He believes in us. We are his ambassadors. You don't send any muppet out abroad. You normally don't send any fool to be your ambassador abroad, do you? They're going to represent you. As a government, you have to have faith in them to represent you abroad, to look after your interests, to take your delegated authority and do what you're supposed to do. We're ambassadors. So he's got to believe in us. He's got to have faith in us, or he wouldn't make us ambassadors. What's the qualification of being an ambassador then? Born again. If you're born again, you're an ambassador. You don't have any choice. I don't want that job. No, I'm sorry. You kind of pick and choose what you want to do, what you want to be in the kingdom. Don't actually feel forgiven. That's getting nothing to do with it. Who cares about your feelings? You've been forgiven. There's a caring pastor coming out in me, Stuart. The word says something, we take it. I don't want to be ambassador. I'm sorry. You can't apply for this job. You can't renege on it either. You are an ambassador. Now, you can make a choice about being a disciple. You want to be a disciple? Well, you've made that choice by coming to Bible school. But we've been given that same authority as the disciples. He believes in us. Anything that we're struggling with this morning, we can say, I can do this because Jesus, the King of the universe, the creator of everything, believes in me. I'm going to do that this morning. Jesus believes in me. He believes I can do anything through him. I can do this because Jesus believes in me. That is awesome. Folks, God never asks us to do anything that we can't do. If we're born again and he asks us to do anything, he's in us. And the word says he's working through us. Bottom line is we need to realize Jesus can't fail. And we believe that, don't we? Yeah, Jesus is awesome. Jesus can do anything. Yo, he's working through you. Let's go to Luke 10, 18 to 20 again. I just want to trawl through these scriptures a little bit, showing you what Jesus said to his disciples. 10, 18 to 20, please. Oh, we'll start with 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, Behold, Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. How much power of the enemy? All. All the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. He has given us all power over the enemy. The enemy has nothing on us other than his lies and his deceit. What was it Reggie said to me one time? We were talking about it the other night. Yeah, the devil keeps making me eat chocolate. No, Reggie. No. He whispers in your ear, would you like a little bit of chocolate? Oh, yes, please. He suggests things. We do it. The enemy's got no power over us. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, the disciples, post-cross. All power is given unto me in heaven and authority. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's great. Oh, I love those verses. Yeah, we'll look at the start and look at the end of those verses. Jesus saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Jesus, I have all power. How much power is missing? Nothing. I have all power, Jesus is saying. Go out and do these things for me, he then says. And then he says, I will always be with you. So, if Jesus has commanded us to go out and do these things, and he is always with us, what do we have as well? What did he say at the start? What did Jesus have? All power and authority. And then he's saying, I'll always be with you. So what else is always with us? All power and authority. Guys, we need to start rightly dividing the word, not just reading, oh, that's a nice verse, oh, that's a nice verse, oh, that's a nice verse. Wow, that verse 20 is amazing because of verse 18. That's what we need to start doing. All power is given to Jesus, and then Jesus is with us. Oh, I thought Jesus was in heaven, and his Holy Spirit was with us. Yeah, but we're talking about the Trinity here. They're one and the same, but three. Don't get kind of hung up on all that. And then Mark 16. Afterward, post-cross, he appeared to the 11, the disciples. So he's speaking to us. As they sat at meat and upbraided them. Are we going to have this bit as well? I was just going to read the good bits to you. And upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Disciples can have a hard heart. Disciples can have unbelief. Anybody will agree with me that certain parts of their hearts are hard and that they might have a bit of unbelief in their life? But we can get rid of that, guys. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, he's just giving them a hard time. You see that? I've just noticed that. He's just railed on them, giving them a hard time for their unbelief and their hard hearts, and then says, oh, and by the way, go out and preach the gospel. That's fantastic. You might be sitting there condemned and thinking, well, I do, yeah, Vic's right, I do have a little bit of unbelief, you know, I do have a bit of a hard heart in the area of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever. That doesn't disqualify you from ministry. Doesn't disqualify you from ministry. You can't use that as an excuse. I think it's better to say it doesn't disqualify you from ministry. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing that shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming their word with signs following. Again, link up all those verses. He's saying, go and do this, go and do that, go and do the next thing. And then it says, the Lord working with them. The Lord confirming their words. I'm kind of adding in here. But it says, the Lord confirming the word with signs following. They gave the word. The Lord was in them and working with them and working through them. Him doing the signs. Now, people need to lay hands on people. You need to do the business, as in do the work. But he does the real work. Oh, I can't do that, Vic. I know you can't. You're not meant to. I can't heal people. Well, you can, but you can't. Yeah? You get that? It's not your power. You've been given all power in heaven. That's not your power. So many confirmations that it's him in us and through us that's doing it. But we need to go. He told his disciples to do this, do that. He's telling us to do this and do that. There's no plan B, it's us. They went forth. They preached the gospel. And Jesus working through them by the power of the Holy Spirit does the real work. So, when we read in the Bible, we need to go out and do this. And Jesus says, you can go out and cast out demons. It's not you that's casting out the demons. Yes, you're putting your hand out. You're the one speaking the words. But it's his power. I can't raise the dead. I know you can't. But you can. Awesome. So let's start linking up all these verses, not just reading one verse at a time. Verse 18, that one in Matthew, it says, all power on earth given to him. He's with me all the time. So what have I got? All power. Start realizing it, Vic, and start using it. Yeah, I got an agreement there. Amen. Same true for you. We need to all realize this. Man, see if we got this. What a different place. Arvis, Lossie, Cullen, Keith, Wales, Aberdeen, Switzerland. What are these places? Hopeman, Bucky. Are you still in Bucky? 3 miles out. Oh, so you're not in Bucky. Oops, sorry. What a difference are these places would be, Elgin? Rosyle. There's only one hoose there. What a different your hoose would be, Dave. Hallelujah. Inverurie. What a difference Inverurie would be. Eh? We realised that. Okay. Right, here we go. If you thought that was bad enough. Right then. Everybody repeat after me. I love Pastor Vic. Let's go to John 14. I'm not sure where I'll read from, but I want to look at John 14, 12. I don't know if anybody read it, one of some of my digs this week. I had to stop while I was preparing this message because this verse just challenged me. Yeah, look at your verse and you think, that's a fantastic verse. Oops, I'm not doing that. John 14, let's read from 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Is there anybody in here this morning that believes on Jesus? Let's always say, oh, your heart. Yeah. Okay. So, oh, hallelujah. This is for us. Get ready to shrink into those chairs. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Yeah, I didn't say amen when I read that the other day. Amen or oh me. It gets worse. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He's speaking to his disciples. Well, you might say, well, I'm not sure, Vic, if it's disciples, maybe that's not for me. Well, no, he kind of clarifies it. He that believeth on me, anybody that believes on Jesus, any born-again believer, the works that I do, shall he do. Jesus done one or two pretty good things, didn't he? I can do that. Not just I can. I should. I shall. I'm at the I should at the moment. I don't know where you are. We need to get to the stage that's I shall, like Chris said there. We need to get to that stage. Hallelujah, I shall. I have to be honest, there's lots of things that Jesus did. I'm still at the I should. Did you raise anybody for the dead this week? So it's not just me then. Healed a few sick this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus did that once. Word says that. He couldn't do anything but heal a few sick folk. Guys, I know what Jesus did. He healed the sick. Sometimes he healed all the sick. He cast out demons. He walked on water. He raised the dead. Guess which one I really like? Water into wine. You know, he did that as well. Hallelujah. Jesus did amazing miracles. We can't argue about that, can we? We can read the Gospels and we can just see awesome things. Healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, walked on water. Yeah, turned water into wine, whoop-de-doo, compared to the other ones. That was a joke, by the way. I'd much rather raise people from the dead. Then we'd have a glass of wine to celebrate. He did all those things. Rightly divide the word and read all those things that he did along with John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Man, we should be raising the dead. Let's start with healing all the sick and then progress on to that. That's astounding. But then he says, and greater than these shall he do. He's saying we, as the church, can do greater things than Jesus did. What, greater than raising the dead? No, it's not in terms of what he did. It's in the terms of the numbers. How many born-again believers have we got in here today? 20? That's 19 more than Jesus. When he walked on the earth, he was a man. He was limited the same as we are, as men and women. In his physical body, he couldn't heal all the sick in Avis, Lossie, Elgin, Forres, Bucky, Inverurie, Wales, Rosyle, Switzerland, Hopeman, Elgin, Keith, Cullen. Imagine if we all start healing people at the same time. That's greater than Jesus. That's blasphemous. Like, no, it's not. Jesus said we would do greater works than him. But it's in terms of numbers. How many born-again believers are alive on the earth? Must be millions, if not a billion. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the change on this earth if we are grasped this? But I tell you what, guys. Imagine the change on this earth if one of us just grasped it, or two of us, then three, four. just takes one person to change the world. It could be one of you three. That's awesome. We are more than him. If we truly believe his words, do we believe what Jesus said? Some of them. Yeah, I believe some of the easier ones that's in this word. Hallelujah, I'm forgiven. Word says that. I'll take that. I'm righteous. Word says that. That's fantastic. God loves me. God thinks more thoughts about me than grains of sand on the earth. God thinks I'm fantastic. I love all those things. God told me to raise the dead. Oops, I don't think I have that verse underlined or highlighted. But the word says so. I don't think I could do this. Maybe some of you are thinking that. I don't want to condemn you if anybody's thinking like that. But if you are, what you're saying is that Jesus is a liar. If any of us are thinking that or saying that, and I do account for myself here, it's like, I can't raise anybody from the dead. Well, in a sense, you can't because it's him that's doing it, but you need to go and lay hands and speak out the words. But if you're saying, I can't go and lay hands on someone and I can't speak out the words and do that, we're calling Jesus a liar. What does the word say? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. We could actually all take a wander down to the harbour just now and see if we believe the words of Jesus. We might all get wet. And I know there's guys in Australia that, I've seen it on Facebook, they do it every day. And they're going to keep doing it until they walk on water. Jesus walked on water. Now I'm far more interested in healing the sick and raising the dead, I think. The word says that we can do it. The word also says he's in us. The word also says we have all power and authority. You don't have to do it yourselves, guys. We don't have to do it ourselves. If we think we're doing it on our own strength, it'll never happen. In our own strength, we just can't do it. You're right. If we were just working on our own strength, we might as well just pack up and go home and not do anything else. Have no more church, no more Bible school. What's the point? Because in our own strength, we're just never going to be able to do it. But we're not working in our own strength. We've seen loads of verses today that he has all power and authority. He's going to be with us till the end. You do the words, I'll do the signs. In us and through us. I'm not trying to get on at anyone. I have to be honest, I've not raised anyone from the dead this week. Let's be honest. I've never raised anyone from the dead. But the Bible says I can do it. Probably, I don't think any of us could just rush out this day and say, oh, message from Vic was fantastic. Don't run up to Watson's. Unless you feel really led to. Unless you feel really led to. I think we probably need to start with seeing a few healings. And then some more healings. And then lots of healings. Now, I'm not trying to say, don't ever go and pray to raise somebody from the dead. You can do it. When all forms of ministry, we need to build. What is it? First the blade, the ear, the full corn in the ear. But we can do it. This is a truth we need to start believing. The word says, Jesus says, we can do this. We can stick it to the enemy. That's what I'm trying to preach on. We need to show the enemy who's boss. You know, I was saying that God's the boss. Actually, as we go up the ladder, we need to show the Satan and the enemy who's the boss. That's us. By displaying Jesus. Hallelujah. The word says, Jesus said we can do these works. We can do anything. We can do the same as Jesus. Why? Because Jesus believes in us. Because of his faith in us. God says we have the Holy Spirit in us. That's Jesus' representative, isn't it? He is with us and he's doing the work. That's what Mark said. That's what Matthew said. We're not doing this on our own. Yeah, we have to go. We laid hands on one another today, yes? And believe for healing. The word says, you lay hands on the sick. But the word also says his power and it's his authority that's doing the healing. But we need to go. We need to speak. We need to say the words. We need to have the boldness and the assurance to go and lay on the hands and tell people. We need to go and do it, but then he does it. You see where I'm coming from here? God working in us and through us. That's why we can do this. When we're talking about God, we're talking about the Trinity. My understanding is, yes, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but they're one and the same, three different expressions. But I think they're interchangeable. So when we see in the Word, it's Holy Spirit in us, well, yes, but it's also the Father and Jesus. And that's the way I see it. So when we're talking about us having the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus is not having faith in us. He's having faith in himself. And he's got a right to have faith in himself. He's the Son of God, for goodness sake. He's God. You have the living God inside you this morning. And he has faith in you. Because he's in you. You're going to need a wee while to think this one through. Jesus is not having faith in us. He's having faith in the Holy Spirit. In a real sense, he's having faith in the Trinity. He's having faith in himself. And I don't know about you, but if I was in a fix, I'd rather put my faith in Jesus than anybody else. Another challenging little statement here. If we're born again believers, if we've put our trust in Jesus, believe that we've got the indwelling Holy Spirit, if we ever say, I can't do that, what we're really saying is, Jesus can't do that. If we understand this concept of him in us, and us in him, and him working through us. And that's just not true. Jesus can do anything. He's creative God, for goodness sake. Jesus cast out demons. That was an integral part of his ministry. And in the context of this passage, that's what we're talking about. As in showing it to the enemy, showing it to the demonic. Part of our ministry is to deal with the demonic. And it's nothing to be afraid of. But we can transfer this to any area of our life. Any area of our walk with the Lord. Any area that there is, the church needs to be displaying the power of Jesus. Not just to the world, but to the enemy. Got lots of people in here this morning. I'm sure there's areas that we're struggling in. Sure, there's difficulties in this room. But we can and we will be a success in these areas if we realize God is with us, in us, and working in us and working through us. God cannot fail. How can't he fail? Because he's God. That's deep theology, isn't it? Isn't it rocket science? How can God nae fail? Because he's God. We can limit him through hardness of heart, through unbelief, through giving up. But then we won't now because we know the truth. Or we'll start to move on the journey of not limiting him, knowing the truth. I mean, what difficulty are you struggling with this morning? Is it work? Is it school, relationships, family issues, self-confidence, I don't know, addiction? Have I said sickness, poverty? If we have an issue or a problem this morning, we can solve it because it's God in us doing the solving. Your issue may be sickness. In yourself or in others. What did Jesus do? Jesus healed people. so we can do greater than him. He said that. So we can be healed and we can heal. The issue may be to do with the demonic. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole debate of it, can a believer be possessed, but I'm sure a believer can be influenced. But Jesus destroyed the power of the demons. Jesus cast out demons. He dealt with the demonic. We can do greater things than Jesus. Jesus said that. Is your issue to do with lack? Is your issue to do with poverty? Jesus only ever dealt in abundance. How much wine did he make? It was about 180 litres at least, wasn't it, in each one? It was cases and cases and cases. Abundance. The word talks about feeding the 5,000. Remember, that's only men. Because we only counted men back then because they were the only important ones. There'd only be six of us here today if we were counting. Seven, sorry, Eddie. If we were counting in the old days. So if there were some women, kids there, Jesus fed 15, 20,000 peoples with a wee picnic. And there was loads left over. There was more left over than when he started with. Jesus only deals in abundance. We can do greater things than him. He said that. Is your issue to do with self-confidence? Is your issue to do with self-loathing? Is your issue to do with rejection? What did Jesus do to the woman at the well? Accepted her, but turned her from a woman who was hiding when all the other women were out and only came out in the heat of the day, changed her from a lack of confidence, self-loathing woman to have an evangelist who went in and spoke to all the men. Stone her. Probably should have been their response. No, she just walked in. Not given a jot that she was a woman and a fornicator. She was now a self-confident, assured evangelist. That was Jesus that did that. We can do greater things than Jesus. That's what he said. Through his power and authority, we can change our own rejection, self-loathing, lack of acceptance, and we can help other people in that. Because what does the word say? We can do greater things than Jesus. He said that. Do you grasp where I'm going with this? This is a challenge. Do you see why I had to stop in the middle of doing this message and do a little bit of meditation and pondering and accepting what the word says? That was a real challenge for me when I read that. And I realized what Jesus did. That in 2017, in Murray, I can do what Jesus did. That's mind-blowing. But you know what else it is? It's biblical truth. My lesson this week is there are times I need to look at that Bible and say, okay, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what I need to change to do it. I don't know what I need to understand. I don't know what I need to change. But the Bible says that, and it's post-cross for believers, or it's speaking to believers. I need to believe it. According to the word, according to Jesus, we can perform in the same way that he did. Now, I kind of got to this in the context of looking at the scriptures that says we can display Jesus to the enemy. And if we believe all these things and start doing what Jesus did, we are destroying the works of the devil. And we're booting out the demonic. Living a life of abundance is not something to be ashamed of and thinking you're greedy. Well, it depends what you're doing with it, obviously. But if you're living a life of abundance and you're dealing appropriately with your resources, you're being a good steward, that's something to be proud of because you're destroying the works of the devil. He wants you poor. He wants you sick. He wants you in pain. Jesus came so that we wouldn't. And if we believe what Jesus is saying, we'll be able to see that in our lives, and that will be really rubbing the enemy's nose right in it. Displaying Jesus to him. I don't care what you say, enemy, I'm healed. I don't care what you say, enemy, I am going to have enough energy to traipse round after Lydia in London for 4 days. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to believe the rubbish that I'm spouting out, that I'm going to be absolutely shattered when I get home on Friday. No, I'm not. I'm going to have a fantastic time because I am going to be like youth like eagles. Isn't that what it says? I'm going to have plenty of energy, supernatural energy. According to the word, according to Jesus, we can perform in the same way that he did. That is what he said. Do you believe what Jesus said? Do you believe the scriptures? Yes, we do. Yes, Pastor Vic, we believe the scriptures. Man, they're hard sometimes, aren't they? Even the good ones are hard. That is one of the hardest scriptures I've ever read. See all those things Jesus did, Vic? You need to be doing that. Or you can be doing that. Even you should be doing that. We need to get to a stage where we say, I will be doing that. Okay, I'm not seeing it right now. I'm not sure if I actually fully understand it or believe it right now. But I will see that once I get my little noodle round the truth. So once I renew my mind and start living it out, I will see that. That's the stage we need to get to. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what needs to change. I don't know what lies and unbelief I need to get out of my head in order to start operating that, but I'm determined to do it. That's the kind of attitude we need to have. How can we do it? Because all power is with him and he is with us always. So we have all power. Was it Matthew that said that, or was it Mark? Matthew. Mark is talking about he's working with us. Yes, we need to do our bit, guys. We need to believe it. We need to speak it out. But if we start believing we have all power and all authority because Jesus is in us and Jesus believes in us, we'll start to make a difference. And things will change. We can say to the enemy, just go and take a run and jump. I don't believe you anymore because I believe what Jesus said. That's where we need to get to. And you can do it. You can do anything because you are in him and he is in you. Do we believe that this morning?
Yes.
Yes. We'll start living it. Amen. Hallelujah. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.